two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. KSL
at night. All right, welcome back to KSL at night. This is your host, Derek Brown. And in this segment, we're going to talk with our intrepid KSL reporter, Lindsay Ehrts, who is on the front line of about seven different issues right now.
I'm so tired, Derek.
And this is the world of being an intrepid reporter. And so you could just be lazy on your job and not have very many stories, but that's not your style.
It's not, because I like truth and I like information, and what I'm after is good, solid stories. So,
well, and so let's talk about one that you just did, and this was late last night, right? And this is about WIC. Now, so one of the things we've been talking about a lot this week is the potential for a government shutdown. And the real issue in these shutdowns when they happen, and it's only happened a couple of times, it's what is deemed essential.
Yeah.
Like, who's an essential worker? Who isn't?
And think about it in terms of, like, you don't realize what the government funds in Utah until the government funding goes away, right? And then you're like, oh, this is where we get money for WIC, for the national parks,
exactly.
Right? And you're like, oh, okay, this is where the money comes from. So the state right now is sort of scrambling to figure out what do we fund. Last week, Governor Cox signaled the national parks would get their attention but he was pointedly asked whether any other critical programs would get funded. And to that, he replied no. Now, that was last week. This week, it's possible there's a different conversation happening as they sift through everything and realize that WIC provides money to women and children, about 41,000 women and children in Utah, specifically helping them get food for their babies, right? So it would be really unfair to say the administration doesn't care about women and children in Utah, but it's also fair to say they're not sure yet how they're going to fund all of these different programs.
And wouldn't that be one of those essential programs? I mean, because some things, I mean, that's always been the trick, right? What is essential? What's not? I remember my very first experience with a government shutdown was 20 plus years ago. I was, for my one and only time in my life, I was in Maui, and there's a national park there. And we had scheduled to go to see the volcano there, that national park, and it was shut down because of the government. You know, obviously, so state parks, I mean, or national parks are not necessarily essential, but you would think that women, infant, and children, in terms of the WIC program, would
and
qualify.
Certainly, I think the Cox administration realizes that, recognizes that, and values that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not here to say they don't. But
it's not a federal, it's a federal program,
it's
right?
A federal,
not a state program.
Right. It's a federal program, and it's 100% funded federally, right? So if they're going to kick in money, it's going to take our taxpayer money here in Utah to kick in money for that program. And that's a conversation they're weighing right now. When you look at the national parks, you kind of have to look at this from the state's perspective. The areas in and around the national parks survive on tourism. The money that comes into the state survives on that tourism, right? The national parks shut down, the state loses money. Now, that's not to say they don't prioritize women and children and families in providing for this WIC program. WIC program, and they have communicated to me offline that they absolutely care about that program. So I'm not here to suggest that they don't. However, it's not clear yet where the funding is coming from, because when I did this story yesterday, I got a statement from the Department of Health and Human Services, who administers this program, and they were saying, we're working with all the stakeholders to figure out what the options are. They said benefits will not be impacted through September. But September only goes until Saturday. So it's not totally clear yet what's going to happen after October 1st.
And so government funding, for those who are not aware, government funding, in theory, unless something happens, runs out. I guess, is it Saturday?
It's
the
midnight. 30th? Midnight. It's at, yeah, Saturday at midnight.
And so, I mean, now whether it actually happens or not remains to be seen.
The shutdown, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my guess is, I mean, almost always they don't do this. They always figure out a way. Like, it's like they're standing in front of a train on the train track,
right,
and right
state,
before the train gets there, they jump off.
But the state can't wait for that. Because
exactly. We have to plan.
Yeah, we have to plan. And if funds run out on October 1st, then families don't get food. You cannot tell me that's a good strategy, right? So the state is scrambling. They're trying to figure out how do they fund this if the government shuts down, and that's kind of what's happening right now.
And does the federal government have a contingency plan? I mean, do they have like a slush fund or other fund in the event something like this happens?
You would think there would be some runway, right? And that was my question to Department of Health and Human Services is, does this just cut off on October 1st, or is there some sort of runway? The other option you think through is, okay, perhaps there are nonprofits, right, who can step up and help supplement at least in the weeks, right? I don't know how much it costs to run the WIC program. All I know is that there's 41,000 women and children in Utah who use it. And so you have to imagine it's a hundreds of thousands of dollar program, right? What nonprofit is probably going to be able to step up and fund that? But at the same time, the state has to weigh, okay, how much is it going to cost to keep the national parks open? What about federally funded school lunches in Utah? Do we pay for that? Like, what do we pay for right now? And they have to calculate all that.
And I guess the frustrating thing is, if you're a state, I mean, you have to sort of go through the interplay of like the state of Utah with every federal program. I mean, we receive so much federal funding mm-hmm. on so many sources. Mm-hmm. And I guess the other thing, as they think about it, is every state's going through the same thing, aren't they? I mean, every state across the country is doing this contingency plan of like, okay, now what?
Yeah, what do we do? But again, sometimes, you know, you're in the majority party here, Derek. Sometimes the majority party rails on the federal government, right, for how involved they are or their red tape, their bureaucracy. But when you sit back and look at the numbers, the government is providing for a lot of stuff. Our federal taxes are paying for some of these programs, right, that really do mm-hmm. impact here. So obviously there's broader conversations about how much we're spending and all of that jazz. Well,
and probably the conversation about whether we should be as entangled as we are. I mean,
sure.
My guess is there's going to be that angle. And it generally is. I mean, because we had a federal shutdown, was it 7 or 8 years ago?
It was 2019 or 2018 was the last one.
It was because
right?
I seem to recall that we opened the parks as a state and we paid for them,
and
right?
And we haven't gotten paid back.
Okay, because Spencer Cox at the time, wasn't he the lieutenant governor?
Yes.
He went back to testify on this and request the funds back.
Yeah. And
we haven't received them.
Yeah, we haven't received them yet. And I did see some reporting. This wasn't my reporting, but reporting that said that Cox this time has asked that if they loan money to keep the national parks open, that we get paid back, like it's a loan instead of a gift, right? Or it's a loan to get that money back instead of we're just going to cover this for you.
Exactly.
So we'll see how it all shakes out. But it is concerning for these families where they're in limbo right now, right? And I think that's what we have to get back to is we're having the conversations all day long about what if the government shuts down, what happens? But these are direct people in Utah who are impacted on a daily basis with food for their children if this money runs out. Like, I wish the senators and Congress people could think about that when they're having these negotiations. Like, you are taking food off the people's table. Figure it out, you know? I think we all sense that frustration.
Absolutely. Well, and so I think that kind of urgency is one of the reasons, like, I'm of the opinion that they're going to figure this out at the last second mm-hmm. because they almost always do. Now, they didn't back in, as you mentioned, 2018 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's really rare. I mean, I think that the idea of the government defaulting on their international and monetary obligations is probably really, really unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think what's going to be interesting is, you know, is there going to be Ukraine funding? Is there going to be border security funding? All that kind of stuff. And the next, 3 days, I guess we'll know. We'll see this coming around. But
yeah.
Until then,
I am expecting an update from the state as soon as they have something to tell me, right? These conversations kind of go like, well, they can't put this out yet because it's not solidified yet. So I want to have good information before I bring it to people to say this is what's happening. Yeah. So the governor's office has told me that they will let me know when they figure out what's happening with WIC. But they specifically didn't want to communicate the message. They don't care about women and in families, because they certainly do. And again, I'm not suggesting that, but it is a priority question. And if they can't fund the WIC program, what happens?
Exactly. And just to be clear, this is different from the food stamp or SNAP program.
Yeah.
For that, those that are wondering.
That program gets kicked in with state funds, right?
I think there's a piece of that, but it also... It's a longer runway.
Oh, they have some runway. Yes.
Yes. So that doesn't end the same time that WIC does.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Lindsay Ertz. Always on the case, and we appreciate you being here with us for KSL at Night.
Happy to be here, Derek.
All right. Next up on KSL at Night, for felons in Utah, there's a program to help wipe the slate clean. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about a group that is helping ex-convicts expunge their records.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.